Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Welcome to Cavs the Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Smith. Also your host, Eli Kim. Also your host, Chris Francis. We don't do roles and titles here. This is Cavs the Podcast. This is equal opportunity.
We're a team.
We're a team. Plenty of diversity and equity and inclusion in this podcast. Anywho. Cavs. On a tear, guys. They beat down Toronto tonight, 131-108. And, like, if the Cavs had not been on cruise control since the first quarter, they could have won this game by 60, right? Like, I don't know if you caught the beginning, Chris.
Well, I heard the I was listening on the radio as I was driving home from work, and I heard... Basically, Strus and Merrill just went in fuego in the first quarter, and it was over already. Like, it was like immediate cavalry.
41-17, and Mobley and Allen just stuffing everything at the rim. And
that was all completely taken care of business. Yeah, it was great. God, love these games.
Eli, did you get to watch the whole thing?
Pretty much. I did miss a little bit of third quarter, but obviously the Cavs were in great position for most of the night. So,
did you get to watch the extracurriculars at the end?
I did. I did see the Tristan Thompson dunk, and then Toronto is a weird situation where both teams have to walk out of the same entry. So it's hilarious how the refs are trying to prevent.
So there's like the Cavs lead first, right?
The Raptors were supposed to leave first, but then, they were just lingering around and loitering. So,
and for anybody who wasn't watching, basically the end of the game, Cavs up 20-something. They cross half court to ostensibly dribble out the clock, and Tristan goes and gets a dunk. But I wasn't watching the play, Chris. You were saying the Raptors were still trying to steal the ball and. Basically,
yeah, they were try-harding the last 3 minutes of the game. It was it was all the garbage time crew, and everybody was try-harding. And then, you know, they were bird-dogging CPJ across the half court. And it's like, you know, like he could have just dribbled out for the game and it would have been over. But, you know, with that, you know, Tristan got pissed, was going to make a statement to them like, if you guys going to try-hard, then fine. Fuck y'all. We're going to fucking dunk on your face. And he absolutely did that, and they got mad.
In the words of Tristan Thompson, don't start no shit, there won't be no shit.
Exactly. It was funny. It was hilarious. And I was like, thank you, Tristan. You should have. Like, they deserved every little bit of that, you know?
Well, and the hilarious thing was how just on vacation they were for, like,
first 47 minutes of the game.
My favorite part of the game was the RJ Barrett airball free throw. It was awesome. It was like, oh yeah, this team's on vacation. They already got a beach appointment booked. And yeah, let's just go through the numbers a little bit. Not that they mean all that much tonight, but to your point, Sam Merrill, 4-for-10 from deep. DeAndre Hunter, 4-for-9 from deep. DeAndre, number two. Cavs had 7 guys in double figures. They had 34 assists, and the highest assist was Garland with 8. Only 13 turnovers. Won the rebound battle 60-50. And made 18 threes on the night. Just domination. Like, there's nobody you can double on this team. Because they play...
ESPN has the rebounding at 53-39, so...
Okay, I'm on NBA.com/games, so okay. let me do a little quick refresh here and see if it gets back down to earth. It is not. So they've got Mobley with 12 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 assists, and 2 blocks. So, and then... Jared Allen with 13 and 10. So, yeah, another just dismantling. And guys, Eli, I got to talk to you first. I was wrong at the beginning of the season. I did not want DeAndre Hunter, but that was before I realized how elite of a shooter he has turned into. Eli, how pleased are you with DeAndre Hunter? I know you love your wings.
Yeah, I mean, he just looks so big out there. Whoever's been playing that spot, they just look like little kids compared to what the size and you know, athleticism and length that DeAndre Hunter has shown in these two games. And yeah, I'll be honest, I do think his defense is not as, I mean, he's not a lockdown defender, so I guess, you know, to expect that would be foolish, but I do think his offense has fit pretty seamlessly. I mean, he's joined the team for two games and looks like he fits pretty well. He started one, came off the bench for one, and I just think it's nice to have that optionality of someone who can also play the four, and you know, we don't have to see George Niang out there trying to guard guys that he clearly is physically not able to.
Well, and I would say the other thing about him is George is a catch and shoot shooter that needs room. Hunter is a movement shooter that can get his shot off versus over 80% of the guys in the NBA. Like, that's not Georges Niang. And he can't put the floor on, or put the ball on the floor and get to the rim and, you know, use that old man post-up game the way Georges Niang can. But they don't need that from him. They need him to hit J's and create gravity with movement shooting, and he does that. And I'll agree with you 100%. There are some things he needs to clean up defensively. Like, fundamentally, his angles are a little off. And I saw him make a couple really just kind of bizarre decisions defensively where he let quickly turn the corner on him, like, and it didn't make any sense. And then he had another one where he kind of didn't challenge in transition. And I think this coaching staff, like, I think that's all from spending the last 5 years playing with Trae Young. And when the coaching staff gets in the film room and helps him clean some of this stuff and works on some of his fundamentals, I think he's going to be even better. Chris, anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, I disagree with you guys. I think he's a lockdown defender. Anthony Edwards missed his first 10 shots in that game. So I think his defense is underrated. The big thing I noticed about him is that he's got go-go gadget arms. They're ridiculous. He's like 6'8 with... like a 7'2 wingspan or something. They're crazy long. So that's what was killing. That was what's killing Davis. Or I mean, not Davis. Anthony Edwards was. You know, when Hunter was able to bird dog him. I think the thing with Hunter's defense, I think, is now he's in a limited offensive role. His defense, I think, is going to pick up. And I think he was a rebounder in college. So I'm encouraged by his college numbers more than anything. About his defense and hoping those kind of return once his offense is not as necessary. Like, he's not going to be, you know, he's probably going to be fourth in the pecking order on this team, you know, like at best, you know, between,
well, I think
DG, Spida and Mobley. So like his, you, well, and then even Ty is going to get more usage, I would assume, than him. So,
I think, though, that he's going to be the centerpiece of the bench offense, like, from a scoring standpoint. Like, well, he'll never be the fourth option on the floor. He'll be the second or third option, and he's going to be a guy that runs plays for,
too. I think the thing about him is that he has the ability, kind of like Mobley, to just get his shot off anytime he wants.
Yeah.
Especially if he has any guy shorter than him on him, which is a lot of guys. So get a, you know, pick and roll him, get him a switch, give him the ball and let him cook. Like, yeah. Today he hit a couple midi, he had his mid-range game even working tonight. I remember he hit one late in the game, you know, and it's just an easy little, you know, read the mismatch, give him, let him, you know, he backed his guy down basically with the dribble and then shot right over him above like a 7-footer or a 10-footer and swish, you know. So that's going to come very useful in the playoffs when, you know, it becomes ISO heavy, slower paced game, and you just got to pick a mismatch, you know. So I love what I've seen from Hunter.
I agree with
all of you guys about that.
I think he's got a little more versatility with the high release and the quick release over Mobley, in that you can run pin downs for him and he can get that catch and shoot coming off the curl. Sure. And get some of those two-man games going with like Mobley and Allen. Or you set a guard, you set a screen with Strus or something there, and or Merrill, and I think it's going to be really, he's going to give you so much more optionality on offense than Niang gave you, who is kind of a one-trick pony out on the wing, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's so much more versatile. He can dribble. He can shoot off the dribble. I think he's more versatile defensively. So,
100%.
Home run acquisition.
Yeah, and what a fleecing to me.
Yeah.
Like, Georges Niang, who was ostensibly a bad contract, 2 seconds and an expiring Caris LeVert, who could be back next year on the Cavs. So it's a pretty crazy. Anything else you guys see tonight that you want to highlight, Eli?
Yeah, actually, one thing that is kind of underrated about DeAndre Hunter that I don't feel like a lot of people talk about is he does have kind of the best free throw attempts per 36 on the Cavs now, which was a little bit surprising. I mean, the Cavs aren't really a good free throw drawing team. So I think kind of adding that element helps as well. And obviously, I think today he had, what, 4 or 5 free throw attempts?
Well, that's fantastic off the bench.
Well, sorry, he did not have 5. He had 5 rebounds. He had a couple free throw attempts, but I'm hoping that that does, you know, that's a game that does travel with him to Cleveland and helps kind of, you know, diversify the offensive attack. A bigger guy who rumbles in there can at least draw some fouls.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I feel like the Cavs now have, with these extensions to Allen and Garland and Mobley, and they've got Hunter for 2 more seasons after this one, like, I feel like they have set themselves up for a really nice 3-year window here. And I'm really excited. I would say
5.
Well, just from a cap management standpoint.
Sure. Like,
the 3-year window is they have a lot of contracts locked down.
Yeah, absolutely. Minimum, you know, and I think they really, you know, all that Kobe has to do to like seal the deal for this like dynasty run is get another Garland or Mitchell extension done. You know, we just need one of those guys or both of them back, ideally, obviously, but at least one of them back with Tower City for, you know, beyond 2030.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's looking way ahead. Like, a ton can happen.
I mean, that's how long they're signed, though. I mean, that's how long Allen and
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm just I don't want to do the Miami thing where we start counting championships at the press conference. You know, that's one thing.
We got a Heat culture. What are you worried about, bro? Max Strus, baby. Strus is loose.
Oh, man. So we'll be right back.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Nate Smith, Chris Francis, Eli Kim. And one of the underrated kind of subplots of tonight, I was a little baffled. I think everybody's a little baffled. What the hell is Toronto doing from a team building standpoint? Like, I don't understand trading Siakam, then trading Ananobi, and then you go out and you get Quickly, and you get RJ Barrett, and then you get who's the other guy? Brandon Ingram.
Brandon Ingram. Yeah.
Does that make any sense to you, Eli? Like what they're doing as a team?
And they also, don't forget, they also re-signed Jakob Poto last year, I believe, so, or 2 years ago. I just don't understand what they're doing. They're like replacing who they used to have with slightly younger but obviously worse versions of the players they used to have. The Ingram thing, I think they view that as kind of a buy low of a, you know, fringe potential star, I guess. But it's just weird that you're giving up assets for a guy that you probably could have signed to that same kind of contract in the offseason. Like, New Orleans wasn't going to do it. It's just a weird exercise. And to be honest, I feel like some people are starting to doubt
Masai Ujiri.
Yeah, I feel like people are starting to lose a little bit of hope, and I think he's lost his luster and capability here.
He's a bum.
Yeah, I don't.
Fraud.
Like, Siakam is making less money than Brandon Ingram. That's it.
And is a far superior player.
Yeah, I don't get it. But obviously, Brandon Ingram is younger. They want a guy they can pair with Scotty Barnes. They don't have a guard still. They have Quickly, who can't stay healthy and is kind of a bench guard, but that doesn't make any sense to me. But also, it's completely obvious they're trying to lose this year, and then I guess they think they can fire the coach and flip the switch next year. I don't get what they're doing. So,
to be honest, I think Barnes is hard to kind of build around too. I think it's not as easy as they thought it'd be.
Why is that?
He's a bozo.
I think Barnes right now, he's clearly their best player, but I think he has a lot of bad habits and he has the ball in his hands way too much.
Disagree. Grady Dick's their best player.
He did not play well today, but
yeah, bad game. But I mean, he had a great game against us the last time around. I think
that's true. But I do think Barnes is hard to build around because he's the big wing that isn't super elite at dribbling. His handle isn't great, but he can make good passes, and his shot just is not great, and he shoots a lot. So I feel like he's building some bad habits, and I think what a team like that needs is a bunch of shooters around them, and they're kind of zagging and picking up more guys who ideally are probably best with the ball in their hands, and Barrett, Quickly, and now Ingram. So it's definitely just a weird way to build a team, for sure.
Yeah, it's a team full of third bananas, right? Like, it's a team full of third options to me. Like, I don't get what they're doing.
So a couple of my friends in the NBA Twitter group chat said that this would have been a great team, and like, this was like equivalent to like the Hawks in like 2009 or 2007, or like the Wizards. It's like some great team from like the early aughts, because none
you mean Scotty Barnes is the next Josh Smith. I 100% buy that.
I like that.
I don't know about that.
Why? Who you got, Eli?
Well,
are you taking Josh Smith or Scotty Barnes? I'm taking Josh Smith, by the way.
No, I would take Barnes because Barnes plays easily a defense.
Easily. Josh Smith was an elite
shot blocker, Eli.
Yeah,
but he couldn't guard anyone outside.
Can Scotty Barnes? Really did Scotty Barnes tonight?
I don't know. Well, so let's give let's go through and give some of these teams their offseason move grade or their trade deadline move grades. I'm gonna give Toronto a C-, barely passing. Chris, what do you grade them? And you don't have to go with letter grades. You can an F.
Eli. F.
I think I'll have to give them a C minus as well. I mean, they're trying. They're trying to find the diamond in the rough. They're trying to find value, but it's not the right, it's not the way I would do it, or most people would probably do it.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird one.
Okay, that's fair, Eli. I'll give you that. They're trying. You tried.
Okay, I'm going to go through some of the ones I think were good first. I mean, I'll give the LA Lakers an A plus. Any disagree? And I'll give Dallas an F. Any disagreement there?
You know, I think the Lakers actually would probably have gotten a B plus if the Mark Williams trade went through.
And now that it got rescinded, it's
because it got rescinded, it saved them.
Well, now, yeah, and now they got Vooch, didn't they? Or wait, who they get?
They got Alex Len.
Oh, Alex Len.
Oh, yeah, they didn't get Vooch. Vooch has a whole nother year, $20 million salary to get through before
he gets bought up. Talk about another F right there in Chicago. Why didn't you trade Vooch?
Nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted that contract. That's why.
Which is crazy.
Because the Jazz had already absorbed Nurkic. That's why. Like, they should have traded him before the Jazz took Nurkic.
Wow. Is that what happened? Oh, did nobody
Because there's nobody with cap room.
I see.
For them to unload him to. I mean.
Wow.
Because nobody wants him on their cap next year, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto...
I mean, but, like, couldn't have Golden State used Vooch?
Oh, sure they could have, but who are you going to give up?
Or Phoenix themselves, or whoever
Phoenix
else
had him on the bench. He and Budenholzer are, like, oil and water,
No. Oh, not Vooch.
Not Vooch, but Nurkic, sorry. I mean, fair, maybe you flip that and do, like, a three-way deal, but I feel like they're the same player in some ways. Although Vooch is a much better shooter. But, yeah, I don't know.
Respect the Vooch.
Yeah. Okay, what about Phoenix? I mean, Phoenix, I feel like they alienated their best player for no reason.
That was an F, too, right? Because they traded Nurkic wasn't he an expiring?
No, he's not an expiring. He's got a whole nother 20 mil next year. Yeah, well, so it was just a straight salary dump. Wow.
F.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't understand.
Yeah, and it sounds like now the Suns are destined to trade Durant this offseason.
Well, and if they trade Durant, I got
to
think
I heard he's going to Dallas. Is that what you heard, Eli?
I heard that Dallas tried to trade for him and for Giannis.
I think they only said that after the...
Yeah, it was Giannis and Anthony Edwards.
Oh, that's right. It was Anthony Edwards. You're right. But, I mean, I could see Minnesota, him going to Dallas.
Minnesota was the one that tried to trade for KD.
But it's funny because Dallas...
Oh, because he was his boy.
Yeah.
That's his boy.
Minnesota.
He should have because Goober and Naz Reid...
that Gobert contract is aging like eggnog. I mean, it's just what a terrible contract that is for a guy that, I mean, I like Gobert, but he's so massively overpaid on that contract for a guy who can't give you anything on offense other than
the
dunks.
Problem is Julius Randle's contract is pretty bad too. Like,
100%. Like, the whole, I would give Minnesota an F because they should have moved Gobert at the beginning of the season and not Anthony Davis. No. Who'd they trade to New York?
Cat.
Sorry. I'm terrible with names. Like, I would give Minnesota an F on the whole season so far because that was just a...
Where's Anthony Edwards? Anthony Edwards asking for a trade, and where is he going?
I don't think he's asking for a trade. I give it a whole nother year, but he should be. They completely mismanaged that team around him.
Yeah, I agree.
What say you, Eli? Where is he going?
I think he stays. I think he wants to be in one city. I just feel like that's kind of his vibe.
I also think
he wants a career legacy there.
Yeah.
I also think it's really hard to move those big franchise centerpieces.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the whole Nas Reed thing is like, they're so lucky that they got him, but now they're kind of stuck because they've made like two bad decisions with everyone else around him.
Yeah, like the Jaden McDaniels contract looks terrible right now.
Which is odd because I thought that was a decent deal, honestly, when it happened, because like he seemed like he was going to take him, he's going to keep improving. Obviously, that hasn't happened.
And then the Gobert deal, just
yeah,
like he's making twice as much money as he should be.
Yeah, and in fact, the rumblings in Minnesota is like they might be stuck with Randall because he has a player option.
Yeah.
No one wants him.
And he's going to exercise it.
But they also don't want his years or his number for next year to be ginormous. So the rumor is that they might ask him to do like a, you know, instead of taking 50 and you're, you know, 40 plus in your option, why don't you take like a 3-year, $80 million deal?
To spread it out.
You know, and obviously then you'll still have to get rid of him eventually, but it makes it a little easier to stomach, I guess.
Yeah, the old PJ Tucker deal.
Yeah, so just something that a lot of people in Minnesota think might happen, to be honest, which is...
And that actually makes some sense. I think there's some other guys like that in the association that have player options like that.
Well, the funny thing, actually, you know what? You just brought up an interesting thing with, you said that would, that applied to Julius Randle, Eli, mm-hmm. that little extension thing. Cause that's interesting you say that. Cause I know that there was some data that showed that like Julius Randle at the five there with Naz Reid, I think like was like one of the best lineups in the NBA. Like it's one of the best 5-man lineups in the NBA. So they just,
but they have to play Gobert because they're paying so much.
Exactly. Yeah. They have to dump Gobert.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to get for Gobert.
The only place he might make sense is the Lakers.
Yeah.
And don't see how they can have three $40 million contracts and build a team around those three guys, right?
Yeah, there's no chance. Yeah, it'd have to involve another team, right?
It would, but then you got to then you probably got to move LeBron. Right? Because he's eating so much of your cap. Unless LeBron's not going to take a lower number. Like,
I think he might.
You think he might opt out and then take that lower number?
I think there's a chance.
I think there's a chance he could do it too.
Yeah, if he thought that there was a real, like, that it would improve them to the point where the ring is there for the taking.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's the conditions. Like, I think also that move, people say, like, oh, you know, like, it, to me, the Luka move was done for LeBron. This helps LeBron, like, for the next 5 years of his career if he wants to age out that way. Now he doesn't have to play on ball anymore.
I think LeBron, two more seasons after this, max. You think he's... I don't think it's going to be 5 years. I think he wants to play with his other son, and then he's done. And
yeah, I think so.
What is that? Who's...
Bryce.
Bryce, how old is Bryce now?
Bryce is going to be in college next year, so...
Yeah, so he's got 2 years. I think he wants to play with Bryce, and then he's done, probably, would be my bet. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. Has anybody kept tabs on Bronny? I've heard he's had some okay games. It's just, I think the thing on Bronny is he's supposed to be a sophomore this year, right? Like, he just strikes me as a guy that would need to be in college, like, at least 3 years, just given his body size and health issues and all that. And I still think he could end up being a good player.
I think Luka has actually tied the same number of threes as Bronny has made for the Lakers in one game.
Wow.
I actually don't think that's true, but I don't think that's true, but I think a lot of people are posting memes like that because they're just like so fed up with LeBron. They're ready to move on.
Oh, that's hilarious. Lakers fans are brutal.
There's nobody worse than Laker. Like, there's not a greater sign of fascism than Laker fans.
To be fair, there are a lot of Korean Laker fans.
A ton.
I don't see the distinction there.
You're saying the North Korean Laker fans.
Koreans.
That was a joke. A fascism joke, although that's not really fascism. So we don't need to get into a geopolitical discourse here and start some diplomatic incident on the peninsula. We don't need to do that. So you never know when Big Kim, Lil Kim is listening. So anyway, okay. What other teams we got? Dallas, I think we're all giving them an F. I actually think there's a lot of teams that help themselves by not doing anything stupid. I think the Knicks actually didn't do anything dumb, and that is probably good for them, unfortunately. Did the Rockets do anything? There was a lot of like lower tier deals that it's really was like hard to track. Like how many teams did PJ Tucker go to? Oh, well, let's talk about Golden State. Golden State, what grade are you giving that trade, Chris?
A+. They had to do something, and they got one of the best players that they could possibly have gotten. And they still kept Kuminga in the process.
Okay. Eli?
I think it's a B+. I do think they maximize kind of their current situation, but it's just like I feel like it's like a year too late. Like they're just, they're hanging on by a thread, and this is, you know, a nice new thread for the time being relative to what was happening before, but it's still, you know, a thread that's losing its luster here.
It's like Jerry Krause didn't break up the Bulls and then tried to win one more title 3 years later. To me, exactly. Is what it's like. I think I'm going to give him a D because I think that Jimmy Butler contract is going to be a huge albatross maybe as soon as next year. Dude can't stay healthy. He doesn't have an outside game. He actually kind of makes sense for that team because he and Draymond can play off each other as kind of the point forwards. But and then they can pepper the ball around the outside. But I think the other issue is they don't have enough shooting around them. I mean, they got Buckets and they've got Moody and they've got Curry. And I don't know. There's not enough floor spacing to me on that team. But Curry kind of changes the calculus more than any other player in terms of floor spacing. So who knows what they'll do. And I think they are going to grift for fouls like no team you've ever seen before. You think the Lakers conspiracy was in the last two seasons? Wait till you see what the NBA does to try and bump Golden State stock in the playoffs this year.
Can't wait. I want them to play each other first.
Exactly.
They could be the 4-5 matchup. That would be great.
And the over-under on free throws in those games is going to be like 60. Okay, exactly. With that, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Cats Podcast. Nate Smith, Chris Francis, Eli Kim. We're going around the NBA grading last week's trade deadline deals. The Atlanta Hawks. I give them a multi-year D. What about you, Eli and Chris?
I think I agree. I think it's a D, and I think it helped the Cavs. I still just don't understand what they're thinking in terms of, hey, we want to get rid of DeAndre Hunter because we probably pivot to a mini rebuild. And then right after they're like, actually, we're going to take those 3 second round picks and trade them with Bogdanovich for Terrence Mann, which I don't get. And Terrence Mann is sneakily like an older player. He's not even like that much younger than Bogdanovich.
Yeah, so. He was like a 4-year college player, I think.
Yeah, so I think the Hawks did terrible, and I think, to be honest, I think the divorce of Trae Young is going to happen because I think the Hawks have to blow it up. I don't think there's really any way they can keep this team going at this rate.
Oh, and let me just release some pure, unrefined hate for Trey making his fourth All-Star game. I loathe watching that dude play. And he, probably my least favorite watch in NBA history. And he's Jared Allen so deserved to make it more than Trey. So, but the say lovey, Jared Allen will get some premium video game time in this weekend. So it'll be interesting. How many, I think a lot of the Cavs are going to be at the All-Star game though. Like, I think they said like 17 coaches from the staff and families were going. So maybe yeah. It'll just be a big Cavs party at the, in Golden State.
Can't complain about that.
No, you can't. Maybe they go hide some cash in the ceiling. You know, Tyronn Lue style.
Unfortunately, I don't think the Warriors will be there. So,
no, I don't think so either. But one never knows. Yeah, I think it's looking like, to me, it's looking like Houston or Oklahoma City so far this year. Any arguments there?
Chris thinks it's Houston. I think it's OKC. So, but the
although,
West,
although Denver has, Denver yeah, always has a chance.
Yeah, no, the trades and the move by Denver to start Westbrook and the trade for Luka. Now it's all is right as rain in the Western Conference. It's going to be Denver versus the Lakers
in the finals. Really?
Yet again, of course.
Yeah, interesting. Let's. So here's another question. What the hell is Milwaukee doing? Like, I get the Middleton deal. Like, they had to get off that contract.
Preparing for Giannis's trade request.
Haslam's destroying a Great Lakes team, a tradition like no other. I mean,
you got to say that in the Jim Nance voice, though.
Oh, you don't want to hear me do impressions. Yeah, I mean, it just, they completely mismanaged the Lillard trade last year. They basically gifted Boston a championship by letting them get Drew Holiday. And then they made a stupid coaching hire in Doc Rivers. And now they got Giannis. Is the rumor he's going to ask for a trade, Chris?
I mean, Wendy has been pushing for it for a half decade now, right?
Yeah, and maybe they do that, and maybe they send Lillard to Miami, although is Lillard got... I mean, Lillard can still be a good player, but he's not the guy... He's not the guy he was in Portland. Any disagreement?
No. Well, he's definitely starting to show signs of age.
He's a sixth man.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and he can't play good enough defense to... Yeah, he's a sixth man. That's a good way of putting it. Miami, what did you guys think of Miami's move? Like, I felt like they could have got more for Butler. I don't know.
A+, because Pat Riley cried like a little bitch.
Yeah, that whole story was so weird. Like, he was talking about Jimmy Butler's dead dad, and he was like, and crying, and it was like, Butler's like, what the hell is this? Like.
I missed this. What is this? So Pat Riley cried?
Yeah, he had like...
Riley tried to convince Butler to stay, like made a last ditch to attempt to stay, and like was apparently like struck Butler's team as unhinged.
I mean, he is pretty old now, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really weird, and like Miami all of a sudden looks like they might be in NBA hell. Like...
Yeah.
Not good, like the perpetual play-in. Of course, Miami looked like that 3-4 years ago, you know, and then they got Butler, and or I guess it was 6-7 years ago. It's so COVID just screws everything up in my brain. But they got Butler and they competed for a few years. They made a final. Did they make two finals?
Two finals, yeah.
Yeah. One with like a run as the ninth seed, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's possible they could turn it around, but they have a lot of really mid players, right? Like, I actually think Hero is a decent player, but
Raptors South.
Raptors South, yeah. That's fair, although I do think Spoelstra is still a great coach. But they kind of let that Jimmy Butler situation get out of hand. Like, they probably should have moved him in the offseason. And that's why I'm going to give him a D. Like, they should have read the writing on the wall then. They could have got a lot more for him trading him in the offseason from a position of strength. Any disagreement?
No, I agree. They could have gotten a lot more. They could have maybe, I don't know. I think not getting Kuminga's fine, but, you know, the return wasn't great, and I just don't know how you pivot. And I think Hero's a decent player, but he's like one of those weird guys where his numbers are inflated because he's just getting all the opportunity, and he's not, you know, in a championship team, he's not going to be that type of player.
Yeah. What about Detroit? I'm going to give them a B+. I think they added a lot of really annoying.
What did they do?
They added a lot of really annoying JB Bickerstaff style players, and they'll be that. They may even be a fifth seed this year, and they'll probably lose in the first round of the playoffs, but they definitely improved.
All right, you said zero players' names right now.
Well, fine. Give me a second. You expect me to be prepared?
Hot Googling action, baby.
Talk amongst yourselves. Wow. Okay, well, let's talk about...
Okay, wait, no. I could give a grade without even knowing the names. F. You can't even freaking name, it's an F.
No, it's F. Always going to be a C for Crumble.
Oh, okay, fine. All right, whatever.
No, okay. I'll give my A grade after the Cavs, San Antonio. Just getting De'Aaron Fox... I mean, total coup, right?
Yeah, that's an A.
Oh, yeah.
Easy A.
Yeah.
They didn't have to give up any of their... I mean, they gave up one decent draft pick, but the other ones I thought were...
That's it. And they didn't give up Castle or Vassell or who else? None of their young players.
Sohan, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, also credit to Fox, who was like, no, I'm not going to opt in. I'm leaving next year. Trade me or don't get anything. Like, if you're a smart player, you do that because you don't want the team you go to be stripped. You know, and that team, that team, as soon as next year, is going to be terrifying.
Well, shout out to Fox. I guess he moved to San Antonio because of his wife. So, big time wife guy over there.
I love a good wife. As a wife guy myself, I endorse that 100%.
Just sucks that his wife couldn't be from Cleveland like 5 years ago. Did we lose your name?
We never got a Detroit name. We'll never get a Detroit name, so we can skip them. Who else made a move? Who didn't make a move that should get an F? Nets.
Magic.
Magic. Yes. Correct. Like, Magic should, like, here's the thing. Like, going back to the DeAndre Hunter thing, like, shouldn't the Magic have even sniffed around on, they could have easily outbid the Cavs for DeAndre Hunter, right? That should have been a worthwhile exploration, right, on their part?
Well, apparently the team that was, like, second in the Hunter sweepstakes was actually the Raptors, which I thought was kind of interesting to hear.
Well, they needed him,
right? Well, they would have gotten him instead of,
Instead of Ingram,
then, yeah.
Wow. There's a sliding doors there.
Yeah, so I think that's what created the urgency on the Cavs to kind of move on.
Yeah, so here's the Detroit moves. You've got they got the umlaut, who desperately did not want to get traded from Golden State for the second time in the season, but also the same week he compared making a $10 million salary and being traded to modern day slavery on a podcast. He was traded again. And I think that's the kind of thing that, you know, don't say stupid things. You're not, and you won't look as dumb.
No, he was correct.
What?
What? 12 years of Dennis Schroeder.
God, you're brutal.
I still can't believe he turned down that like $80 million extension with the Lakers.
Oh my so God. This is all-time great. Well, did you see how much money that Brandon Ingram gave up? Brandon Ingram apparently supposedly turned down a $160 million extension from the Pelicans last year, and now is and took less money, right?
Yeah, he took one less year. So
yeah,
whoops.
Which I don't get. Yeah, it's just
I think he's way overpaid for what he gives you. Yeah, but
yeah,
NBA contracts have never made sense to me. Outside of the, you know, the elite tier guys. So Detroit got them. They got Lindy Waters. And then they basically rented out themselves as a place to dump players and get a bunch of draft picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's actually a solid C+. You know, B- C+. B for Brownie, C for Crumble. Okay. I think we've beaten that to death. I think we all I have the Cavs and San Antonio as my big winners and the Lakers. And I've got Dallas. I mean, Dallas just poisoned their whole fan base against them. Like, did you hear the whole thing about Mark Cuban tried to stop the deal at the last minute?
Yeah.
Have you see the guys getting kicked out?
The guys that got kicked out, yeah.
For the Fire sign. Nico chants and Miriam Adelson with a clown nose on his t-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, not just that. Did you see the CEO of the team, the Adelson stooge? He came to a game and got booed and it was like incredulous about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Rich people do not like getting booed.
Then don't do like beyond stupid things.
Oh, I know. That's one of the dumbest trades. I think it'll go down as one of the dumbest trades ever. And
all billionaires for jail.
And JB for prison.
JB for prison.
Okay. Well, that will be right back. Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Chris Francis, Eli Kim, Nate Smith. Buyout slop, guys. Like, does buyout slop sound different than trade slop? Or is it... I feel like buyout slop might be like a different animal. Like, maybe... I don't know. Or should I just make the pig noise?
That's right, baby. Yeah. Let's go.
I do have to say that the train went through Cleveland, but it didn't stop. And Ben Simmons is not a Cav on the buyout market. He ended up with the Clippers.
Which was, I think that's makes a lot of sense for him.
It probably is for the best for you as well, because we would have given you no end of shit.
Yeah. But it would have been fun, because my prophecy would have come true then from like
it would have, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a cool full circle moment for you.
full circle on it. The train was a lot different when I wanted to get on. All right.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. he had working vertebrae then.
Yeah. He actually like gamer would back. Score and pass. But anyways, I do think
did
it's
you
a bummer.
Joel Embiid did the same freaking thing.
No, what did he do?
He froze on a wide open three to win the game.
Oh no.
And because he couldn't grift a foul, like totally froze at the 3-point line and then like dribbled into a turnover to lose the game.
Was that last night?
Yeah, it must have been
against
last
the Raptors.
Night. Yeah. Yep, it was. Yep.
I also like how he said his goal was to play the remaining games of the season, and then he immediately missed the next one.
So. No, and what an all-time loser.
Yeah, I feel like the grade there should be withdraw, because the Sixers have withdrawn from all classes and are no longer going to school. Like, I do not understand the Sixers. I love that this is all blown up in Daryl Morey's face and they are terrible this year. And there's no way Nick Nurse is back next year, right?
Yeah, I don't know. And it's just weird because PG's like turned into another Embiid. Like, he doesn't play either. Like, it's just...
But that's been him for the last 3 years.
Oh, did you see he has more podcast episodes than shot attempts this year?
There's no way.
Not a lie. Did not make that up.
That's amazing.
That's actually hilarious if true.
That is hilarious. So, yeah. Anyway, what were we, buyout slop. Who do you like on the buyout market, Eli? Who do you think they'll get? Or if anyone?
I really liked Daniel Theis. That was probably who I wanted the most, but he's going back to Europe, unfortunately. Out of the guys that are still currently available, I don't know. I guess it has to be... I'm kind of coming around on Mo Bamba, to be honest, and I didn't think I would be in that position. But I do think there are a couple other guys that hopefully will shake loose that are better fits for the Cavs, notably... Bojan Bogdanović is one name that I would like to see get bought out, because I don't know what Brooklyn is doing. And then I also would kind of be curious on, although he hasn't played at all this year, Christian Wood was a guy that I really liked a lot. And obviously the Lakers dumped him to get Alex Len, and he hasn't played a game this year either. So those are two guys that I would consider. But besides that, I think they're just, in terms of guys hanging out there right now, it's probably Robert Covington still for me.
Yeah, my guy is Will. I'm going to throw out a crazy name. Tasmanian Jack Jumper, Will Magne, is supposedly the best player in the NBL, which just ended its season, that can come over. He's a center power forward. Pretty good numbers in the NBL. NBL is a real league. On par with Euro and actually a lot more ex-NBA players in the NBL. So, that's against real, NBA competition. I just think it'd be an interesting flyer. And then you add a guy like, Bogdanović or Robert Covington, and I feel like you can call it down, or you leave that extra spot in case there's an injury and you want to sign somebody on the buyout market. All they have to do is be a free agent before that particular date that you have to be a free agent, and then you can sign them till the regular season ends. And I like Mo Bamba too, Eli, but something to me, it's just too weird that he's 7'2", can shoot threes, rebound, and block shots. He's 26 years old, and he's not on a roster. Like, to me, there's some weird backstory that we're not getting. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe he's a lazy guy in the locker room. Maybe he just has an off-court thing. But to me, there's something weird going on there. Like, I don't know how he's not on the Lakers already.
Yeah, I agree. The fact that the Lakers are taking Alex Len over him is kind of weird.
Yeah, for sure.
To say the least. So.
Yeah, maybe he's just still immature. I don't know. Chris, anybody on the buyout market you like?
I mean, I like the names that were said, you know. I would take any of them, to be honest with you. Christian Wood's probably the one because of the production and also just taking advantage of the opportunity that he probably wants, which is get on a winning team, perform in the playoffs, score a bag real quick, you know. So I think that's got to be the type of guy they were looking for, a ring chaser. Guy who wants to score a bag by performing well in the playoffs. So I think the guys that fit the bill are kind of the guys Eli alluded to in terms of Bogdanović or Wood. So I take a bet.
I don't like Wood at all. And I know I'm a guy who advocated for Wood in the past, but he has pissed off every team he's ever been to. And I don't mess with the vibes. The vibes are immaculate. Like, these are guys that are just insurance policies at this point. They're probably not going to play. If they are playing, that's a little bit scary. Or you just need a third center to eat up fouls. Like, I got no desire to have Christian Wood on my team and screw with the vibes. So,
interesting.
Kind of an anything but. And I used to be on that, but, like, if you're too toxic for the Lakers, you're too toxic. You know? Yeah, I don't have anybody else. Lonnie Walker's still out there. He's got a NBA out, but I don't think the Cavs need another wing.
No, and also Lonnie Walker's kind of small.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the Cavs already have a lot of small players that play above their size. So, how about All-Star Weekend, guys? Are you looking forward to the new format, or you think it's going to be a turd burger? Chris, I'm going to go to you first because I know you'll have strong opinions here.
Yeah, I could care less other than DG winning the
three-point shootout.
Yeah, that's all I care about.
What about, is it Mobley and Mitchell in the skills competition?
Oh, yeah, that's cool, too.
Yeah, no, I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Saturday nights are always better than Sunday.
100%. Yeah. Pro Saturday night here.
Although, does anybody know anybody who's in the dunk contest? Like, this is the lamest dunk. Like, they literally invited Mac McClung back, and he doesn't even play in the NBA.
Yeah. He should win it again. Mac McClung Hive rides up.
Like, I honestly feel like it would even be better if they just did an open. Like, just open around the country and just, like, have a tournament for dunk contest, and then the winner gets $500,000. Like, I feel like you would actually get a good dunk contest then. I think that'd actually be more fun than what we have, right?
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, like, just, yeah, kind of make a web reality show about it, and then, like, the top guys from, like, two or three regions get to compete against NBA guys, and then winner gets half, the finalist gets a quarter, winner gets $500,000, and then, you got a good made-for-TV event. But the way it is now is just super lame.
Well, where you went wrong is NBA players are not going to compete against average Joes.
Agreed. Yeah, fair. But maybe if you up the prize money, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you got to do.
I think you do the same thing in baseball where the winning side gets...
the winner of the dunk contest gets home field in the finals?
Well, I'm saying, like, the All-Star game itself should be that. And I don't know. I think they have to do something to make it better because it's borderline unwatchable now.
Well, I think the mini tournament and games to 40 is going to help. Like, they split up the team into three or four teams. I do think it's dumb that they're putting out that, and maybe it's not dumb that they're putting out that Rising Star squad to just get eviscerated.
They won't. They honestly might not.
Well, I think, honestly, it's a way to make the All-Stars play hard because you know they don't want to lose that game, right?
Yeah.
Like, they'd never hear the end of it, but we'll see if that format has any juice. It can't be worse, right?
Yeah.
The last 2-3 years, the game has been utterly unwatchable, so.
I thought it was actually getting a little bit better when they started doing, like, the
Elam draft. Ending? Oh, the draft.
And the Elam ending.
Yeah, the draft. Yeah,
but then after LeBron won, like, twice, he's just kind of like, I don't care. And then he got his ass whooped last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be fun if they did that four-team draft live. Like, right before the game, you just play pickup.
That's what I was just going to say, Dave. Did somebody posted an old clip of, like, the draft 3 years ago between LeBron and KD? And that was, like, high entertainment. It was so good that it's obvious Adam Silver said, "You guys are having too much fun. We got to nix it."
Right. Adam Silver for prison.
2028, baby. Let's go.
God. So yeah, and then the Cavs. When did the Cavs play again? Tuesday or Wednesday?
I think it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Who do they play?
I don't think anyone plays until Wednesday.
Okay. Well, that's probably for the best. Everybody needs the break. Glad to see Ty Jerome sitting out tonight. Get that extra rest. Stretch run. Cavs have, what are they, 44-10 now?
Yep.
44-10, and there's 28 games remaining.
Yes.
The last half of their schedule is tough. Not that bad.
I thought it was tough. They got some.
It is tough.
It's tough, but they. It feels balanced to me. I guess I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, they got better teams, but they also play a lot of the crap teams. Like they play Charlotte a couple times.
They play the Bulls.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have a tough stretch. I mean, they play the Nets, and then they got Knicks, Grizzlies, Magic, Celtics all in a row, and that's tough. And then they got
Magic again in March.
Then they got a nice Blazers, Bulls, Heat, Hornets stretch. Then they got, you know, the Bucks, Grizz, Magic, Clippers, Kings, and Suns. That's 6 out of the 8 games that are next. So the schedule's no joke, and of course they still got to play the Spurs. And they're not going to be an easy out as we get towards the end. But then it kind of wraps up with the Pacers and Bulls, and you got to hope the Cavs are far enough ahead at the end that they can rest some guys. So it should be interesting. But how many games are they up on the Celtics? 5?
5.
Yeah. So with 28 games left, give me a prediction, Eli.
I think the Cavs keep the 1 seed in the East. And I think they'll close out. They'll probably not. My thing is, I hope they finish with at least 60 wins, because it means they, you know, finished above 500. And this Cavs are just typically sucked after the All-Star break.
So
it'd be a real shame if that trend continued, even though
Jared Allen, keep your conditioning. You always suck after the All-Star break. Don't spend the whole time on the couch.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think they'll get to like 62 wins. That's my prediction. They'll keep the 1 seed.
Okay. What about you, Chris?
72-10.
Okay. What's their all-time win record? 66 in 2008-2009. Yep. I don't think they're going to beat that, but I'm going to go 20-8. I think they'll go 64-18 to close the season. Second best wins all time, but I certainly
you have little faith.
I have plenty of faith. I just think they don't want to do anything dumb. Like, I think, who knows? I mean, do you think they could get to 67 wins, Chris?
Easily.
Okay. Do you think they should get to 67 wins?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, good. That it should be fun. Who's your, and your finals prediction, Chris?
Cavs, Lakers.
Oh, wow. That's a monster draw right there. Like, I'm sure the NBA would love that. They would love Cavs Celtics, but Cavs Lakers would, that series would have a lot of juice.
That would have a ton of juice.
What about you, Eli?
So my heart, you want my heart answer or you want my head answer?
Just talk, man.
Yeah, I think my head is saying Celtics Nuggets.
Someone needs a lobotomy.
Of course, I would want the Cavs to make it, but I just feel like they're still a year away from kind of climbing that mountain.
Okay. And what's your heart?
My heart is Cavs, Rockets.
Oh, that'd be a fun series. Honestly,
that would be brutal.
The Rockets scare me.
Ooh, that would have juice. The fights would break out in that.
The Rockets are a bad matchup for the Cavs. I will agree. They probably scare me more than any other team out west.
Yeah, and they're so big, positionally big, and.
What about Memphis? Because Memphis is the same style team. Are we scared of Memphis as we are Houston?
No. Who plays center for Memphis? Oh, JJJ.
And Brandon Clark. Our boy Brandon Clark is back from injury.
Brandon, three knee surgeries, Clark, I'm not that scared of anymore. No, I'm not as scared of Memphis.
Oh, no, they got Zach Edey.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I still go with the Cavs. I think the Cavs are still better inside, although they are a little scary. But I just think the Cavs are deeper. And I think they could beat a 7-game series. Also, I don't think there's any way that the NBA lets Memphis get to the finals.
Especially if the Cavs are the other side.
Right, exactly. Like, at the very least, with Oklahoma City, SGA is going to be MVP. Yeah. So at least you have an MVP in the finals, but I don't think Memphis has any juice. I don't think the NBA wants any part of Memphis in the finals.
So I got a little franchise slot, by the way, for you guys. I guess the sale of the Celtics has killed any chance for expansion for the NBA.
Well, right, because they can't sell it.
Right.
Right, because they want too much money.
Well, and I guess another aspect is the NBA doesn't want Gulf states to purchase any of the teams.
Like Persian Gulf, not Gulf of America.
Right. The actual, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Interesting.
This whole Glenn Taylor thing will be interesting too, in my opinion, to see why.
Yeah, because he won his court case, but the NBA Board of Governors may not approve the sale.
Flesh that out, Eli. What the hell is going on with that?
No, you're correct. Yeah, he lost his court case. He lost his arbitration.
Correct. So basically, he agreed in principle to sell the Timberwolves for about $1.5
billion. Oh, he got fleeced.
He got fleeced. So basically, he tried to back out. Obviously, when he agreed in principle, Anthony Edwards wasn't what he was.
Wasn't Anthony Edwards.
This was pre the playoff run, right?
Correct. So after they made the playoffs, that's when he kind of reneged. And on top of that, the Mavericks sold for $3 billion. There were three teams after he agreed in principle, and they all sold for $3 billion plus. So he, basically tried to get out of the deal by any means necessary. He accused them of not having the money in escrow, which was, I guess, partially true. They were still fundraising by the deadline.
Alex Rodriguez was a broke boy. Yeah.
But apparently the judge finally did rule that, take it to the NBA owners and they have to vote for it now. And he needs to get the Rodriguez camp needs to get 3/4 of the vote.
So I don't think they're going to get it because I don't think they want that low of a valuation on an NBA team.
Yeah, I think also a lot of what Brian Windhorst was saying on his latest pod was that a lot of owners, just that all these guys are billionaires. They're not going to be like, hey, I don't want to set a precedent and basically tell another one of the 30 of us what you have to do with your team.
Especially
if it's not like a Donald Sterling situation, right? Something heinous. But that being said, even the Clippers sold for over, $2 billion.
Which seemed crazy at the time, and now
looks like a bargain.
Yeah, it's a bargain.
It's a bargain.
So it'll be interesting. I think that vote, I think you're right. I think it's not going to pass, and then I think there'll be some kind of settlement. Maybe they do have to up their price to get up there. But that's also part of the reason why Windhorst thought maybe that's why Minnesota didn't make any deals, even though they probably could have, because they didn't want to muddy the waters on future commitments on cash.
Well, that and they want to keep the books clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's interesting. It's interesting to think about what's going to happen with the Cavs, too, because there's been a lot of Dan Gilbert legacy stuff going on this year where they honored him in Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame and did all this stuff. And you've seen his son sitting with him a lot at games. I feel like the vibe is that he wants to keep it in the family, but like owned by the trust. But I don't know how that's going to go. And the whole reason that Weitsch Grausbeck, I believe the owner of the Celtics, is selling because his kids want the money now, right?
Yeah, they want to do. They have other businesses they want.
Yeah, to it's like the whole plot of Inception.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, that's interesting. Anything to pitch, guys, this week? I know we need to wrap this pod up. It's getting long in the tooth.
Yeah, I'll pitch my buddy. My buddy is about to release a song, Brent Colatalo. Pitching my buddy Brent Colatalo. Shout out to my homie. Doing some production work, music production. Been in the music industry 20 years. And cooking some good stuff. Hopefully the rock track make. Hopefully the rock track he's been working on hits. I can't talk about it, but
well, you just did.
I can't. You know, it hasn't been released yet. So, and I, you know, but fingers crossed.
Nice. Well, what was that name again?
Brent Colatalo music.
Okay.
He's got his own website.
Cola.
Brent. Yep. Colatalo.
Okay. Cool.
Yes, sir.
Eli, anything to pitch?
I guess so. I'm pitching skiing. I started to become a more enthused skier.
Do you ski or snowboard?
I do ski. Growing up, I snowboarded, but as I'm older and taller sideways, it's just an easier sport for me to do, to be honest.
Nice.
So yep.
Is there skiing down in Columbus?
There's a place like an hour away, but I'm actually going to go to Pennsylvania for some slopes this weekend.
Well, it's a good ski weekend. I got a buddy going to Finger Lakes this weekend, so
yeah. There's also, I think, a bunch of my buddies went up to Michigan in Boyne up there.
Yeah, Boyne Highlands. Yep.
Boyne Highlands.
Yeah, Boyne Highlands is great. And then there's a place called Nub's Knob, which I've always wanted to go to. But my wife won't let me, so we'll just leave it at that.
Because of the name?
I'm just making bad jokes, Eli.
But anyways.
You'll understand when you're a dad, Eli.
Yeah, the only action you get is through jokes.
Oh my god.
Wow! You're gonna throw your wife under the bus like that?
I'm 100% joking. It's the whole Al Bundy.
It's all right.
Stereotype. My wife is a saint.
There you go.
Anyway. Well, cool. Skiing. My pitch is this week. I'm gonna pitch a newly created social media account. Cavs the Skeets. I started on
that. Is awful. What that name is. Jesus Christ.
That, well, because the Twitter equivalent was Cavs the Tweets. So on Blue Sky, you call it a skeet. I started a Cavs the Blog Blue Sky account. I'll send
Good
you.
Job, the... Nate. Thanks, Nate. Good job. I applaud it.
I'll send you the login, Eli, if you want it. But it's basically so I can just have some social media outlet during games, because I'm slowly de-social media-fying myself. So even though some sites won't let me delete my accounts, which is very frustrating, but I will not name names. And then the other thing that I want to pitch is... I just am setting myself up for the summer of Nate, and I'll be in the Milwaukee area for Summerfest this summer for about a week, seeing a bunch of good bands. Summerfest is like a huge music festival they do in the Milwaukee area. Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land, as we discovered in Wayne's World 2. So looking forward to that. And I need to make it over to Cleveland to catch a game with you guys before the end of the year. I am going to end of the month. I am going to make it over to Detroit to catch to see JB Crumble against the Cavs. And then I am going to a charge game versus Grand Rapids here coming up.
Ooh. Are Pistons tickets pretty cheap? I would imagine so.
It's not a tough get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, neither are Cavs games, to be honest.
Yeah, if you want to meet me over there for a game, let me know, Eli.
I could do that. I could do that. Yeah, yeah. It's a 2-hour drive, not hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll send you the deets. I think it's like a Friday night, so.
Ooh. Even better. Liking it more and more.
Detail.
Yep, I will send it here. I'll send it in a bit here. Right. And that's all we got on Cavs the podcast, or Scodcast, if my stupid pronunciations for how I do my social media accounts hold. But it should be a good All-Star weekend with plenty of Cavs representation. And I'm going to watch just to give my boys, Kenny Atkinson and the staff and DM and Darius Garland and Evan Mobley, all the support. I'm super excited to see them get their flowers.
Congrats, guys.
Huh?
Hell yeah. Congratulations, guys.
Yeah, well deserved. Like,
absolutely.
This team has been an absolute pleasure to watch this year. So I could have not asked for a better first half of the season. So go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite blogger. There's a fire.
Saving money on remodeling your home inventories. Start your tile project off right with DentShield Tile Backer from Georgia Pacific. It's proven to protect against moisture in your walls and subfloors, with a built-in water barrier, making it perfect to use in damp areas like kitchens and bathrooms. Plus, its easy-to-cut design makes installation a breeze. Save big on Georgia Pacific DentShield Tile Backer panels. On sale through March 2nd. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money.